What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL Live. Joined, as always, by my co-host, Jonathan Holder. Jonathan, how you doing, brother?
Man, it is a great day. Short week for me, so
it is.
Can't wait for my Friday to hit on Thursday. And we're getting closer and closer to the combine, and then free agency about a week after that.
Yeah, dude, it's like we've talked about it many times before. The NFL does a real good job of keeping the news cycle on them, even when the games themselves are not being played. But as far as like anybody who's interested in the offseason type stuff, which I'm assuming the vast majority of you people who are watching us are interested in the offseason activities, it's really starting to get like ramped up with, you know, free agency right around the corner, the combine fixing to kick off. Then after the combine, we'll be dead into the like draft season of, you know, the pro days and who's falling and who ain't and all this other good stuff. So yeah, we got a lot to talk about in a sense and a lot to get into, so we might as well just get into it. Like our good buddy Nick says, let the fun begin. That's it. What's going on, GTA or G Texas boy? I'm glad you're in here with us tonight. Chris wants to know, he says, good evening, Pound for Pound. He is asking me when my new ride's getting wrapped. Probably not going to get wrapped. at least not. I might put a Pound for Pound sticker on it somewhere, but I don't know about getting wrapped. Hucklebuck says, let Terry and the boys cook. Good things in store for this franchise in 2024. Rise up. Yeah, I mean, this is like Terry's time, you know, with the draft and the pro personnel side. Like it's getting to it. Willie Doc, what's up, brother? He says, let's get it P for P. That's what we finna do.
That's what we're going to give it our best shot.
That's right. Bradley Burnett says, what up, folks? What's going on, Bradley?
What up, Bradley?
Fred Butts, already $2. We appreciate you. He said, it would be fun to get Ridley back. I'm assuming you're talking about Ridley. Yeah, we'll get into that here in a minute. There's an interesting scenario right there. April Thomas, what up, everyone? What's going on, April?
Glad you
decided to drop in with us tonight. So, as we talked about right at the top of the show, it is free agency is upon us, right? Yes, we have the combine kicking off, but the next thing that will really affect the structure of this team is free agency. So I thought to myself, I said, what would a, you know, forecast of free agency look like? Because we know with Terry Fontenot, he's made it known more than once that he goes for need in free agency, BPA in the draft. He's made that strategy known more than once. So I figure why not get a primer going and take a look at who might be, some folks available. So I'm going to share this screen. Yeah. Bam. Check me out.
Yep.
Actually check you out or this out. So okay. Outside of quarterback, we can get in that a little bit. What do you think is your biggest, like, positional need that we should be looking for?
Biggest
and in the chat, y'all could throw your suggestions in there as well.
I mean, the easy answer and the low-hanging fruit is always going to be pass rush, right?
Right.
So you could always, even if the Falcons came out of this year with like 60 sacks, like 50 to 60 sacks, I would still say you need to always add pass rush. Like, try to add to it anytime you can, all that stuff. So that's the kind of the low-hanging fruit. Outside of defensive line, I think probably the next biggest glaring need is probably going to be cornerback.
Okay, so let's start on a different tag. Let's take a look at, my God, why would these ads not go away? There they go. Okay, good. God,
something called ad blocker.
I know. I get it. Anyway. All right. So let's take a look initially at where we are free agency. This is all of our, you know, all of our free agents. It's what, 22 of them, I believe. Most of them, you have no real need in bringing back. Oh, hey, Willie Doc, with a $5. Really appreciate you. He said, love the Tuesday, Friday content. Keep it going. What would be an out of the left field free agent move that the Falcons would do that makes you say for real?
There's two different for reals there. There's like a for real.
Oh yeah. Awesome. Like
there's also like for real.
Right. What? To me, doing something like, I don't know if I'd call it a free agent move, but if they traded for somebody like a Daniel Jones, I think would be the one that would give me the, like, you know, unequivocal side eye. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are y'all doing? Yeah. But the for real could be like, we talking about like, you know, potentially going after T. Higgins or a Marquise Brown, one of the top more higher tier, you know, wide receivers. But yeah. Let's look at what we got here. Out of like there's only about three names on this list that I would even entertain bringing back. Calais Campbell being the first one, and he'll be 38 next year. And I'd still want to bring him back.
Yeah.
Now, they have in their ranking, so to speak, because whether you realize it or not, this is how they rank them. They have Jeff Okuda as being our highest one. What are your thoughts about bringing Okuda back?
So, I think that they are ranked by, like, their average annual their salary.
Yep, that's what they're ranked by.
Yeah, but so Jeff Okuda being at the top of the list, that makes sense from how much he's getting paid, his market value. But like as far as him getting, Jeff Okuda coming back, he looked really good early in the season, kind of started to fall off, about mid-season-ish. Then he got injured, which has kind of been his hallmark of his career. So, right. I mean, if you can bring him back on, like, something fairly cheap or cheaper, I don't necessarily hate that idea at all. Right. Whether or not he's the kind of guy that is going to fit right in the secondary, I don't know. Right off the top of my head. I don't know. Are we going to go – because I know last year we did a lot – we still played zone, but we did a lot of man coverage. And Okuda likes to be manned up, not as big into the zone stuff, which is what he was doing in Detroit. And when he was in Detroit doing the man stuff, he started to come around a little bit in his final season with him, but he just never really like lived up to expectations there. So
right, yeah, I tend to agree. I don't know if I'd bring him back at this 14.7.
No,
you know, like annual. I don't think he's earned a big like. Substantial contract, but you know, if you go let him test the open market and nobody snaps him up, then you like maybe re-sign him on like it starts on a Wednesday, you re-sign him on that Sunday or something for like half this, or you know, for a year or two. I might be down with that just to see if he can go with it. All right, so outside of him, I highly doubt you're going to bring back Michael Pruitt. I highly doubt you're going to bring back Mac Hollins. There's a possible on Van Jefferson just because of the familiarity with the potential scheme and, you know, Zach Robinson himself. Yeah. But what about Bud Dupree? Would you bring back Bud Dupree? He had a decent year as a rotational player.
I mean, if we look back, what was his best season as a rusher, as a pass rusher?
I think 11 and a half sacks.
Yeah, and the 11 and a half sacks came when he was with Pittsburgh, and he was playing as a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Right.
So if we're going to go that route, the scheme that he had his best statistical year, I can't remember if he left in free agency like the year after, or if he stayed on for another year, then got traded or whatever, but But his best statistical year was as a 3-4 outside linebacker. So in that respect, if you can get him at a decent price, I don't mind bringing him in, even if he's just depth, you know, rotational kind of guy.
All right, hold on. Okay, y'all got to tell me why y'all hate the 3-4. Like, honestly, I need to know, like what makes y'all hate the 3-4? Which, I mean, let's be real here. For the most part, like, we're going to be in nickel 70-something percent of the time anyway.
Yeah.
So you're not, you know, 3-4, 4-3 is whatever, base-wise. But I'm curious because it's not just him. As Dre Murphy said, he freaking hates it too. So I'm just curious, like, what about the, did y'all play Pee Wee football and y'all had to run 3-4 and couldn't win a game? I'm not 100% sure, like,
well, special so level. I don't know their specific reasons. One, now, if I was somebody like Grady Jarrett, I may not necessarily be the most enthused because if they run a true 3-4, now, I know that there's different versions of a 3-4 where you can have some where it's single gap 3-4s. But traditionally, the 3-4 is a two-gap scheme where your defensive lineman, your nose tackle and two DNs typically have two-gap responsibilities.
Right.
And so that doesn't allow him to do the thing that he's really, really good at, which is I'm just going to explode and use my quickness and just hit my gap as hard as I can. And you know, penetrating and all. So it kind of gets him away from that a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to be a little bit more gap responsible, but so if I'm a Grady Jarrett, that's not necessarily probably the thing that I want to do more than anything.
Right.
But, you know, 3-4s have been just if not more successful than 4-3. If you get the right people to run the scheme, and you get everybody on the same page, but you can say that about any defense out there, really.
Exactly. Like Dre Murphy says, you know, it's one less man at the line of scrimmage. He didn't play football at all. So is my second love. Football is my first.
I mean, you're always going to end up with at minimum four guys rushing the pass. I mean, you may do some three rushers if you're like third and 20 something into the game, I mean, kind of deal.
It depends on how much drop eight you're doing. GA Tex has got a good point. Says going to 3-4 will showcase AK and Malone to get more playing time. You know, Malone pretty much disappeared, was gone last year, you know, because of, you know, in favor of, you know, Onyemata, in favor of bigger linemen. So it'll be interesting to see if Malone makes a comeback. All right.
Well, Malone, the biggest problem that I think with Malone personally is twofold. One, I think they were trying to get him to maybe move to linebacker.
Right.
Make a move to a linebacker, you know, off ball kind of situation a little bit more. And I think that, you know, he probably didn't like that as much. But on top of that, we heard from I can't remember which coach it was. There was maybe it was the last year or the year before, but there's basically like you kept hearing or you heard this coach come out and say, like, you know, essentially guys, what they show in practice determines whether or not they get on the field, this, that, and the other.
Right,
and
some guys,
it was almost like an effort dig, right? It was almost like saying, like, hey, if you don't put in the effort in training, you know, in practice, you're not going to get out there on the field. And it just gave me a feeling like the one guy that everybody was wanting to see more of that we just never got to see more of was him. And I kind of conflated that with like, he's maybe just not putting everything into the practices. He's not practicing right. Who knows?
I mean, that's the deal. So, like, you know, what you show the coaches behind closed doors or away from the cameras is more important in that aspect. Now,
the problem is he may be a guy that really comes alive when the lights are on.
Right.
Right. When he's on the field, but you're not going to get a chance to do that if you don't show that you can do it when the lights are not on.
Right.
And that's the biggest problem that I would see in that scenario. But I don't know that for a fact. It's just like when I heard that and the one guy that everybody's like, why are we not seeing this guy? He was awesome in college. And the times we did see him, he's looked pretty good. Why are we not seeing him? And then you hear that comment, and I was like,
Maybe that's it. Yeah. Fred says every time we run the 3-4, we get ran all over, and defensive ends don't rush the quarterback in that scheme because they're more three techs. Well, actually, okay. Hopefully, we'll have a guest pop on later and we can really get into it. If not, we'll get into it later on as the offseason goes. What you're probably going to end up seeing a lot more is what's called the tight front. And the tight front, you have the nose tackle, which is the zero tech, playing head up on the center. And then your defensive ends are playing a 4-eye inside shade on the tackles, like inside the tackles and the guard, and then which gives openings for the outside linebackers to rush and stuff like that, which, like I said, we'll get into that more. But, yeah, for everybody who is concerned about it, like, go watch the Rams' defensive line because they're running a 3-4, and they don't necessarily get run on, and they're still rushing the passer, with people that aren't named Aaron Donald.
I mean, if you're running a 3-4 properly and you got the right kind of, especially if you got the right kind of nose tackle and defensive ends, that is a really hard defense to run against because you have, if they're doing their job right, they're keeping all these linebackers free and clean. And there's enough of them there that can really make life difficult on a running game. So. Yep. If it's done right, if it's coached right, if you get the right guys in there, it can absolutely be a really good defense. And, you know, I mean, we'll see how much we actually line up in a 3-4. Who knows?
That's the thing. Right. Okay. So we've come across, talked about positions or whatever. And I think like the defensive tackle, a la the nose tackle, is probably number one priority in a base 3-4, right? So, obviously, I don't think you're getting Chris Jones. You might shoot the moon and try to get DJ Reader because he would be an amazing add in the middle. Like, if you put DJ Reader and then put Grady Jarrett and David Onyemata bracketing him, that could be pretty nice. Grover Stewart is another guy that you might be able to get for a bit pretty – not, you know, somewhat reasonable. He made $10 million last year.
Yeah.
But he did get suspended for PED use. So that might hurt his market a little bit.
I mean, that might help us.
Right.
You know, because then he doesn't cost as much.
That's what I'm thinking. All right. Then you got Tim Settle, who's a young cat, you know, 300. I think he's, because what you're looking for is a big guy. And if I'm not mistaken, Tim Settle's a pretty big fella.
Yeah, but I would still like, I know you went down a little bit farther through this list, but I'd take Fletcher Cox.
I don't know if you're putting Fletcher Cox at the nose. That's right, I was.
That dude can do just about anything he wants to do. So
yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. So you could. You could pair Terry Fontenot back with Sheldon Rankins again.
Yeah.
But that was more of a 4-3, like, attacking style there. Tier Tart is another guy. Big fella. Hard to move. Played up in Tennessee for a little while.
I don't know what if he's big enough. Linval Joseph. I think he's more of a 4-3 tackle.
I wish they'd give me on this one without having to open up a ton of tabs. I wish they'd give me his size because I'm not 100% sure. Plus, he's 35 years old. So,
I mean, I'll especially if all you're looking for is a nose tackle, a guy who can eat space and hold up, you know, maintain his, you know, gaps or whatever. Like, as long as he's not. You know, as long as he can still play, I'm down with it.
So here's a couple cats, lower tier guys that played with Raheem last year. And that's and this guy right here, Michael Hochich, I ain't even gonna try.
Hecked.
Yeah, sure.
Hocked.
Yeah, I got you. He's a guy that I could easily see them bringing in if they don't, if LA don't bring him back. You know, if they don't try to re-sign him. Because that's like, when I'm looking at stuff like this, this is where I tend to start. It's like, okay, where do these coaches come from? Who do they have familiarity with? Because when you don't have time to, you know, you don't have time necessarily to coach up everybody. So if you can get somebody that's familiar with what you're trying to do, that's a boon. Nathan Floyd said Javon Kinlaw, you know, 6'5", 320. Now he's had, like, that was a guy when he was coming out of the draft, like, you remember San Francisco jumped us and drafted Kinlaw, which was a guy who I was really looking at to potentially pair with Grady back then. He's had some injury history. He's had some, you know, just been ineffective. I would take a swing at him for cheap. You know, if San Francisco lets him walk, I'd take a swing at him pretty cheap. Okay.
Another guy I wouldn't mind seeing us if he actually gets there, Jonathan Hankins.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you could get Jonathan Hankins, like, there's your nose tackle. You know, that's a big boy. Hey, you can pick up Marlon Davidson again. Sorry.
Now,
all right. So there's a handful of guys, defensive tackle wise, that could be that nose tackle. Then obviously, as we'll get into it, there's guys in the draft that can go that route as well.
Yep.
Now, I want to take a look at what I consider to be our next, like, biggest position of need. And to me, that's wide receiver. You've got Drake London and pretty much nobody else as far as the wide receivers go. We're not going to be running a tight end heavy scheme. Yes, this coaching staff, you know, may get Pitts more involved from the tight end position, but it's, I don't think it's going to be as tight end reliant as it has been. So somebody's like immediately saying Nick's like talking about T. Higgins. So that's right now, that's T. Higgins' fair market value. Is just shy of $25 million. Let's see.
Right. Oh, yep.
So now he's had some injury history over the length. I'm trying to see if it tells me how many games he's played. No. Not here, not without me pulling up a bunch of other stats. Market value. Here we go. So, he hasn't completed a season yet. Not as, but last year he played 16 games, 14, 16, 12. So it's not horrible. It's not like, oh my God. But he has had some times where he's had games where he's disappeared, you know? And do you want to pay $20 million to a guy who has as many drops as, or at times as many drops as touchdowns? Like, you know, you're paying him to catch the ball.
Yeah, that's a valuable function for a wide receiver to have.
Right, especially you're talking about 600 yards, barely over 1,000, barely over 1,000, and then right under 1,000. Like, that's a good chunk of change for not close to Julio Jones production in yardage. I know that sounds bad, but you're saying, oh, well, JR, he had Ja'Marr Chase. I understood. He wants to be paid like a number one, you know. So I just don't know if we're going to pay him like a number one is what I would think. Now, Jay and Fred both say, yeah, I would take Calvin back as well. So that's interesting. Let's talk Calvin Ridley for a little bit.
That's assuming he wants to come back.
Let's just say he does. Let's just say he looks across the pond or looks across state line and says, hey, my boy Raheem's coaching now. I don't have to block with for Arthur Smith. I don't have to go across the middle and get my head rung. I can stay on the outside, catch it, and go out of bounds kind of deal. You know, what he likes to do. So let's say that that's the case.
All right.
At $17 million a year, would you take Ridley back? So essentially would be Ridley and a third, which would kind of be interesting. Because
I don't know. He did fine in Jacksonville.
Yeah, like that's what I was just pulling up, right? 76 receptions, barely broke just a little bit over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, 7 drops, played in 17 games, so played a full slate of games. Yeah. You know. So no, shouldn't be no issues there. Played 90% of Jacksonville snaps, played almost 1,000 snaps, right? But his yards per game is 60 yards a game.
Yeah.
Now, and this is with Trevor Lawrence throwing in the ball, Doug Peterson scheming it up, and he's still, like, he's not averaging. I would think, let's see here. Let's go to Mike Evans real quick because that's the top of the leaderboard right now.
Yeah.
As far as, like, free agents go, right? So, or at least by value.
So he's like 20. He's like 23 point something million.
Right. So 23. I'm trying to see if it's like what his. Say like he's averaging 73 yards a game.
Yep.
That's to me more in the, you know, realm of what you want.
Now you could say, okay, well, Calvin Ridley came back after being out of football for a year, not, right. You know, not of his own accord. He did some stupid stuff to get himself.
Well, that was of his own accord, but you know,
but you know what I'm saying? Like he did not play because he didn't want to, but he was still away from the game for a full year. He comes back, still has 1,000-yard season off of a lost year.
Right.
And yeah, he did have, you know, his average yards per game was a little down, but now if he comes into this system, he's probably legit. Like it's like a 1A, 1B situation. He would be not the guy, but he would be like one of the guys.
I was about to say he'd be pretty, you know, close to the guy, so to speak. It would be very much a Cooper Kupp, Puka Nacua type situation, you know, as far as, you know, one game this guy goes off, next game that guy goes off kind of deal. So, I mean, I can see it, but you got to figure how long of a contract is he trying to get? He's already turning 30, you know. He missed a year of football, obviously, for, you know, the situation. So, like, the question then becomes, like, how much do you want to pay him? Do you want him to come back, right? When a guy like a Kendrick Bourne is out there, who isn't probably going to command nearly as much money, right? His fair market value, looking about $5 million a year. And statistically, you know, he's averaging this past year 50 yards a game. That's not far off of Ridley's mark for much less price.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's something to consider, right?
It absolutely is. And if Zach Robinson can scheme things up the way McVay does, you know, everybody's going to get plenty of targets. Now it's on him to make sure he's available when the quarterback's looking at him.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like everybody should get their fair share of targets.
Right.
Because they like to spread it around with that style of offense. And it's important that it gets spread around so that they can't key on any one person.
Now, the one I'm interested in would be Marquise Brown. Because if you're looking for some speed, you know, to complement, you know, Drake's toughness, right?
Yeah.
Like that, to me, that's a Marquise Brown. He can clearly take the top off of defense. He only had 4 touchdowns last year. You know, he's only eclipsed 1,000 yards one time. So I don't think he's going to command a ton of money. He may even like take a 1 year prove it deal kind of thing. You're not wrong. He's talking about Ridley is the most skilled wide receiver. You're not wrong. I'm not going to argue.
If you want to talk about skill, I would say, it's probably Mike Evans, Odell Beckham, and then Ridley, like top three.
Oh yeah, like skill wise.
As far as skill, like just straight skill, I think those are the three guys. Again, I'm not necessarily saying don't bring back a Calvin Ridley, because like you said, if you bring back Calvin Ridley, then you essentially, got a third and something else.
Yeah, you got a pick last year, a fourth, I think it was last year. And then you would have a third this year. So let's talk about this a little bit. Like the chances of Ridley signing with Jacksonville before the free agency hits is probably going to be slim. So anybody who's really counting on that second round pick, probably not going to happen.
It all depends on, in my brain, this all depends on whether or not Jacksonville cares that they care about the potential look that they went into that trade not in good faith, right? So if you basically wait around and it's like free agency starts, oh hey, we just signed Calvin Ridley. It was starts at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's like 3:10. We signed Calvin Ridley to a 4 year deal or 5 year deal or whatever. In that scenario, that's gonna, maybe they try to be smart about it and wait, let him know, like, hey, we're good on this. Let's just give it a day, maybe two, and then we'll announce the signing and all this other jazz. But even then, it's just gonna look bad. Now, I'm not saying they can't do that. It's happened before and it'll happen again. Do they care whether they are looked at as like, well, you weren't dealing with me in good faith. Knew you never had you were never going to give us the opportunity to have that second at all, period. If that's the case and they don't care about it, then fine. They may do that. But if they want to be able to work with people going forward, because it won't just affect them with us. That'll affect them with other teams as well that they want to do trades with. Maybe they get a trade they really like, but then they just can't get it over the hump because they're just like, I don't know if I can trust you.
That's business in general. So we'll see how that. Yeah. I like Nighthawk Runner says, we gave Jacksonville our DC in good faith. I think we would have an understanding on Calvin. maybe. Hey, man, you still can't convince people that that's not how Shanahan ended up with Garoppolo. As far, there's not a ton of like free agent wide receivers that I'd really like go after big time. How you can bring back Scotty Miller?
Scotty Miller. If we're looking, I don't think we're going to try to spend, because I don't think you're going to try to spend big on what you. Because right now you have a number one. Okay. Now he needs to up his production this coming season, but you have what you believe to be, I'm assuming. Now maybe I'm assuming incorrently, but right now the assumption is Drake London is your number one. So you're probably not going, that probably rules out a Mike Evans, because unless he's willing to take a major pay cut.
Right.
I don't think you're going to spend $20+ million on a wide receiver this coming season.
That's to me. Guys like Mike Evans and Michael Pittman they do what London does.
Yeah.
As far as being the big body contested catch, wide receiver. So I think you would want to like pair him with somebody, maybe even somebody like, a Curtis Samuel, a little bit more of a, do it all kind of guy.
Yeah.
Put him in the backfield, could do some fun stuff like that. Got some pretty good speed to him. Because, like, what I'm really looking for is what we were really lacking on the field last year, and that was speed.
The downfield threat.
Right, exactly. So people were talking about, oh, Calvin opened up a lot of things for Pitts. Right, like you got to have that, and they never, for whatever reason, never utilized Scotty Miller's speed as a true threat, probably because they knew wasn't nobody going to believe it with the accuracy of the, you know, signal caller. But yeah, if you could get, you know, somebody like a Mecole Hardman, who's got some speed, man, or, you know, Marquise Brown got, you know, speed there, Calvin Ridley with speed. I think that's the type of complement we need to complement Drake and to fully unlock Drake and what Pitts can do is somebody who can truly beat folks over the top. Somebody's talking about Darnell Mooney. I didn't see him on this list. There he is. Darnell Mooney. Yeah, like Darnell Mooney, young.
Yeah.
I
think that's about the range
right
that you want to be in for a guy who you expect to be your number two guy.
Yep. Especially if you bring in, you know, if you bring in Justin Fields, right? Yeah. He's got some familiarity with him the past 3 years. And when he was the only option.
I mean, does he? Looking at his play on the field, does he actually have
is when he was the only option, he had over 1,000 yards. So it'll be interesting to see how that part plays out. Fred of $2 says, if Pitts can't go off in this game, he has to go. I mean, yeah, he needs to start producing.
Yeah.
Like, period. Regardless of where he's at, here or anywhere else. Like, Bradley says, Fields followed a bunch of Falcons today and unfollowed the Bears. I think the Falcons. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was. I think you were probably going to say the same thing. That's actually not true.
Right.
He's been following like Pitts and Bijan and those guys for a while now.
Right. Like, if y'all remember, it was their rookie year. Like, there was a picture going around of Pitts and Fields on a boat, like partying.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a. They are friends, you know, which may for him, if he gets a say in where he tries to land, you know, if Chicago wants to, as you were talking about before, good faith type stuff, if they want to do right by, you know, Fields in a situation and we're offering, you see, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Obviously, we would have to offer, you know, but if we're offering and they want to do right by Fields, then – yes, he's already friends with, you know, Pitts and some of the other guys on the team, especially the younger guys. And so, and then bringing in somebody like a Darnell Mooney would be, you know, could also help the transition. Somebody else that he is familiar with. So that would be interesting there.
But I think of the guys we've talked about, Darnell Mooney's one I wouldn't mind seeing brought in, whether we bring Fields in or not. You know, him, maybe a Tyler Boyd, you know, Marquise Brown really intrigues me, as a guy that can, you know, do some of the, you know, he can kind of do a little bit of everything, but he's really got that top end speed, to really threaten, the back end of that secondary. So like having somebody like him in there that I would think that would be good. Or one of the other things is the Jefferson, you know, we picked him up and that's his whole thing is like the speed, right?
Right.
So maybe you feel like if they're thinking about bringing him back in, maybe they use him in a little bit more of that role. So that frees us up to kind of do whatever we want to do. Cause then you could really look at bringing in a Calvin Ridley, because Ridley is a guy that can beat you deep, but he's not the guy that can beat you deep if you know he's going, even if you know he's going deep. There's certain guys that can do that.
Right.
Ridley's not that guy. Ridley's the guy that's going to beat you deep because he caught you, you know, napping because he's been hitting the out routes and the in routes and the overs and all this other stuff. And then he makes a move. You're guessing wrong. He cuts up field on you, whatever. But at the end of the day, he's not just going to be like, hey, I'm going down there, see if you can catch me. And then you just can't. He's not that kind of guy.
Yep. So I truly feel like they come out of free agency with a wide receiver. And probably going to draft one as well. To be completely honest, I would love for them to pick up a Luke McCaffrey in the later rounds from Rice. Really enjoyed watching his tape so far.
From the Senior Bowl, like the guy that really stuck out to me, I honestly didn't think anything of it, of him. I mean, I thought he was good at Georgia, but I didn't think anything. But Ladd McConkey, like showed me some things at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, you talk about a guy who can separate, who can make space, get space, quicker than he is fast. Like Ladd McConkey, I joked a few years back that I wanted Ladd McConkey just because of his name. Just because it's a ridiculous name in a sense, like Ladd, who names their kid Ladd anyway? obviously his parents did, so good on them. But like you say, the more I've watched him, the more I'm really intrigued by his skill set. Especially obviously in the slot, somebody like Ladd, somebody like, Luke McCaffrey in the later rounds. Roman Wilson would be fun. I don't think he got utilized as well as he could have been. I think he's another one of those guys that's going to be a better pro than he was a college player.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we're going to get into all that. We are going to get into all that. Right now we are focusing more on the aspects of free agency. The only other position that I could think that we could really use, obviously outside of the main one, quarterback, but would be like outside linebacker and or corner. So we could take a brief look at like outside linebackers with it being, transitioning to that 3-4.
Yeah.
Obviously, if you could grab Danielle Hunter, that would be awesome. That would be great, but that's going to be a chunk of money. Same with Za'Darius Smith. Going to be a chunk of money. I'd like to land him. I really wouldn't mind pairing, because at first I was going to chalk up Leonard Floyd's production to being next to Aaron Donald. Well, then he went to Buffalo without Von Miller and put up the same kind of numbers. Yep. So if you can repair Leonard Floyd with Raheem Morris down here in Atlanta, bringing him back home where he went to college at, especially if you decide to keep a Lorenzo Carter, That could be fun and interesting there as well.
Yep.
They're saying Spotrack is saying $8.1 million.
Do a Leonard Floyd at $8.1 million.
Yep. Two 3-year deal, 31. I think that would be jam up. Cause on stats wise, this past year, the last 4 years, he's flirted with double-digit sacks. And two of those back-to-back were with Raheem.
Yep.
So I think that could be fun, pairing him back in Atlanta. Chris says, sign him. That's what's up. Yeah. That's what we talk about, sign him.
Absolutely. In this scenario, like I said, any of these guys that we've talked about so far, Danielle Hunter, I would love to have him. What's his market value at? His market, I mean, it's going to be in the mid 20s or 20 million.
That's what they're saying. He'll probably break a little bit more than that, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But he's going to be right around that 20 million mark.
Yeah.
Mainly because of his age. He's 30. Yep. So you're starting to get into that. When is it going to start dipping? You're not going to get as long a contract, but come on. This past year, 16 and a half sacks. Don't tell me you don't want that here.
No, I'll take Danielle Hunter all day. I'd take Josh Allen, Brian Burns. I'd take any of these guys.
Oh, yeah. I don't think Burns makes it out of Carolina. I think he gets franchise
sacks. If they're smart, he doesn't. But,
Well, you got Evero still there. Had they changed DC, I might have been okay, they might be crazy, But if you're Evero, you're pounding the table, to keep him. at all cost, I would think.
You would think. So, but then again, like I said, that you're going from paying him like chump change to paying him legit, like potentially more than a Danielle Hunter, who's, you know, been in the league longer.
I want to take a minute to say I was right with this guy. Kalavon Chasian. Years ago, people wanted this guy, you know, 3 years ago.
Yep.
And I was like, nope, this dude's the next Beasley. You know, as far as like all speed, all flash. And he's had 5 total sacks in his 3 years.
Yeah, at least Beasley had 1 year where he led the league in sacks.
Right. So, you know, just want to, hey, sometimes you got to, you know, pat yourself on the back when you get one right. So anyway.
I'll say this, though. The guy that I was that I liked a lot coming out this past year. I think it was this past year. It was either this year or last year. I can't remember. And he's turned out to be pretty good. That I wish we would have taken him. Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah. Yeah, I was interested. I was very much interested in Lucas Van Ness. He's had a little bit of injury history. Now, here's a dude, like, if you want to get getting my John Madden voice going. But Josh Uche, you know, back in the day, me and Toby were all over Josh Uche. And he's had the kind of career that I thought he would have. Like last year, when everything was looking good, he bust out big time with 11 and a half sacks. Kind of went back down to earth a little bit. But I think playing on the right line, he could really get going.
I saw his name in a tweet that was basically like the original tweet had gotten retweeted, but the original tweet was like a list of like free agents and like where they're, you know, like teams and their most likely free agent pickups or whatever, and this guy was a name that they were given for the Falcons,
right?
As a potential
I think he's a guy, you know. Josh Allen to me would be him, and Leonard Floyd would be, and obviously Danielle Hunter. Those guys would be like my top. There's one that Nathan's talking about here is Huff, which is the cat from the Jets. Bryce Huff, I think, is his name. I wonder what they list him as. Do they list him as a defensive end?
Yeah, it looks like it.
Let's see. Some of these guys.
He's not showing up as outside linebacker.
No, he's not showing up as outside linebacker. I don't even see him at defensive end. That's interesting. I wonder, because he's going to be a free agent. So it's interesting that they don't have him anywhere. But, yeah, those are some of the names that I would very much like to see us to, you know, take a look at here in they're saying linebacker. Let me look at linebacker real quick.
Inside linebacker?
I don't know why you...
I didn't see him at outside. Oh, what was the name again?
Bryce Huff. They got him, I guess, as an inside linebacker. I won't put the screen back up, but yeah, I mean, last year he had 10 sacks. So the question is, like, is that his breakout? Do they bring... They've drafted, like the Jets have drafted some... past couple years have drafted some pass rushers, so they may not be willing to bring him back.
Yeah.
So King Seven's talking about Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey would definitely show what we have in AJ. He would get more thrown in the direction to see if he's really like that for the big plays. Is Ramsey gonna be a free agent, or is he or do they talk about like maybe a cut there? Let's see.
Well, let's see.
I'm gonna look at it real quick.
I imagine he would be at the top of the list of like,
I would think,
salary.
So. Yeah, and I don't see him. So people might be speculating that he might be a cut, because the top of the list is Adoree Jackson.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens there. I think there are a handful of really good corners. If we shore up needs, you know, as far as that goes, I believe that he could, that we could potentially go corner in the first or second round. Bradley says Ramsey is likely a cap casualty. So right. that's
right. Yeah. If that's the case that he gets cut, you know, he did say that, like you say, he did say that him, you know, like a lot of people, including myself, would love to play for him again. You know, we'll see how much that bears fruit.
Well, yeah, love to play for him as long as he's getting paid a ton of money. All yeah. right, Benny Smith. Oh, Benny Smith says, "What's up, guys? Rise up, Benny.
What up, Benny?"
Glad you decided to drop in with us tonight. All right, now it is time for everybody's new favorite segment. It's a mockery. This is in this segment we sit here and talk about a potentially crazy draft that I have found on the internet that we can point and laugh at, not necessarily point and laugh at, but
absolutely
trying to find, especially this early in the cycle, mm-hmm. trying to find different opinions and different. You know, scenarios that we can look at to see like how likely this might be, or hey, would you even entertain this idea? So I think y'all are gonna get a real kick out of this one. Can y'all see that okay? Or do I need to make it bigger? I'll make it a little bit bigger. Let's see. Okay, how's that? Is that better? Okay.
Looks good to me.
All right, so this comes at you from the Pro Football Network, a guy who we've had on the show a time or two, and that's Ian Cummings. This is what this man does for a living, and you're going to be like, JR, once I see this, this guy's a hack, maybe. You might think that. But he's a really insightful guy, and I think that I like the fact that he's willing to look at things from a different angle, okay? So this is a 7-round mock. I don't know if y'all want to go through all 7 rounds. We'll take a look. Maybe we'll go through a few since it's one of the few 7-rounders this early in the cycle. So right off the rip, nothing extravagant there. Caleb Williams going to Chicago.
Yeah.
Right? Makes sense.
Makes sense.
Jaden Daniels, which is interesting. Here's been the flip lately, is the Jaden Daniels and the Drake May. Yep. Like everybody's pretty much locked in on Caleb at 1. So you got Jaden and Drake that are doing the flipping back and forth, right? So no big deal there. Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals, again, makes sense, right? Here's an interesting one. He has a trade. He has Minnesota coming all the way up to 5, right? So jumping us and the Giants and taking J.J. McCarthy. So in the first 5 picks, he has 4 QBs going.
And we're seeing, just to kind of put this out there, we're seeing a lot of mock drafts where J.J. McCarthy is
a top 10. Yeah.
Yeah, top 10. And I saw Kevin Knight from the Falcoholic. He tweeted out, he's like, look, you know, from the film I have looked at, like, here's what my, you know, I am not a fan of J.J. McCarthy. However, hearing what he's heard from different folks around the league and what other people have heard from other, you know, he's got contacts probably for the Falcons, but he's also probably got contacts with other people that have contacts with other teams and so forth and so forth. The scuttlebutt he hears is that the NFL is just the NFL in general is fairly high on J.J. McCarthy, like a lot higher than most other people are going to be.
Yep.
So
that has definitely been the scuttlebutt is that the league is higher than fans are. All right, so we keep right on rocking. They have made the Giants grab Malik Nabers because they made the bad decision to re-sign Daniel Jones. So now they at least got to give him somebody to throw to.
Yep.
And since at this point in this draft, there's no real QB left to take, right, as far as the top ones.
Yep.
Joe Alt for Tennessee and Will Levis. Here's the big one. Brock Bowers to the Atlanta Falcons. Oof. He says, in this 2024 mock draft, the Falcons trade for Fields. Then they waste no time giving him another elite playmaker alongside Bijan and Drake. Blake Bowers' positional designation should really say weapon. I know everybody's going to love hearing that. But that's what he is. He wouldn't be redundant next to Kyle Pitts because he can do so many different things. For Atlanta, Bowers would function as a big slot hybrid with inline motion and seam capabilities, a role in which he was able to terrorize defenses at all three levels. So I thought that was interesting that he gave us Brock Bowers. I don't see that happening.
I mean, like, I'm going to say this. And now, great. I said kind of the same deal with when the year we ended up drafting Drake London. Like so many people that year were just like, you know, and I was one of them that was just like defense. We need defense. We need an edge. We need this, blah, 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 whatever. And then all of a sudden you started hearing some thoughts about Drake London as being the guy that the Falcons were targeting. And I was like, there is no way in hell that the Falcons are going to draft a wide receiver at 8. It's just right. not going to happen. You're going to go OT or, you know, like a tackle, or you're going to go, you know, defensive tackle, or you're going to go defensive edge, whatever, but you're not going, I guarantee you're not going wide receiver. And we went wide receiver.
Well, so, and here's the thing, like in this one, and it's a point that Richard's making here. He says edge rushers are the biggest need next to quarterback. And at this junction of the draft, none of them have gone off the board, right? So you got Latu, Verse, and Turner all still sitting there. So that's part of what makes this interesting to me. All right, so we're going to blaze through this because somebody said let's do all 7. I don't know if we're going to do 7, but we're going to do a few. So Bears grab Odunze, which makes sense. Young quarterback, young receiver, pair him up, let him grow together. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that name. The Jets help out Aaron Rodgers. Sure. With an offensive tackle, makes sense. Right. Their line's atrocious. Chargers from Minnesota, that trade, they grab the first cornerback off the board.
That's the guy whose name I've seen starting to pop up more and more. Arnold.
Yep, Terrion Arnold. Denver grabs Bo Nix. I could totally see Sean Payton with Bo Nix. Like, I'm serious. I'm dead serious. With the way he likes to you know, precision pass, dink and dunk offense, like, I could totally see it. The Raiders grab offensive tackle. So do the Saints. Another cornerback for Indianapolis. Center for Seattle. The Pittsburgh Steelers from Jacksonville. So another trade. They come up and grab an offensive tackle, I guess, to protect Kenny Pickett. Cincinnati grabs a D tackle, one of the first ones. And here you go, an edge rusher finally. Latu stays in California with the Rams. In Jacksonville, they draft Adonai Mitchell, maybe to take up place of the departure of Calvin Ridley. Dre's messing with me. He said, JR said, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that name. Nope. y'all ain't going to cancel me.
I mean, it was bad enough where I didn't even try to. Nope. I just went with the last name, which was much easier looking to pronounce.
Nope. Y'all ain't going to cancel me over some names. All right, Detroit. Oh, man, come on. They're going to add Dallas Turner to Aiden Hutchinson? Whoa. That would be mean. Philadelphia grabs Kool-Aid. Houston.
Hold on. We can't just go past that.
What, Kool-Aid McKenzie? Come on. McKinstry? See, y'all messing with me my names. Yes, but this man's name is Kool-Aid.
Is it like his legit name? Or
I don't know. Somebody in the comments will tell me if it's his legal name or... I just know that's what everybody calls him, is Kool-Aid.
That's weird that it would show up here as that.
Dallas Cowboys are replacing Teron Smith with Amaris Mims from Georgia. Okay. Dolphins grab an O-line. Chop Robinson goes to the Buccaneers. They just collect edge and pass rushers like ain't nobody's business.
Yeah, it is.
Cardinals grab Murphy to go along D-tackle. Wide receiver for Buffalo, probably to replace Diggs. That's a big one if Stephon Diggs does, in fact, leave.
Yep.
Safety for Green Bay. There's another Versa, Jared Verse for Baltimore. San Francisco.
They need more pass rush.
Yeah, I know, right? San Francisco gets more pass rush. And Kansas City gets a wide receiver. Totally makes sense.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. King says, he goes, I don't think so. Just like Julio's real name's not Julio. He thinks
it's JaQuincy McKinstry.
Oh, okay.
Here, I'll put it in the chat here.
All right. So he just goes by Kool-Aid. All right, getting into the second round, Carolina grabs Darius Robinson, standout from the Senior Bowl. New England grabs offensive tackle Nate Wiggins for the Cardinals. Another O-lineman for the Commanders. Center for Chargers. Kamari Lassiter, cornerback for Tennessee. Another cornerback for Giants. Xavier Worthy, who I've been hearing a lot of buzz about for the Commanders.
Yeah.
Max Milton, I've been hearing a good bit of buzz about him. Ooh. Oh, here you go. Ladd McConkey for Georgia in the second round. Ladd McConkey.
I mean, if they go Georgia, first two picks of the draft.
Oh, man, people Powers, would have to calm down, right?
Yeah, people would have to, like, they couldn't be all like, oh, you're not a serious franchise.
For all the gamers out there, the Elden Ring trailer drops tomorrow. Are they putting out a new Elden Ring?
No, it's DLC, I think. It's the Erd Tree thing.
I know. I got a lot of people who play that. I know a lot of folks play that. Oh, cool. Spencer Rattler goes second round. I think that's totally worth it.
Like, this is a guy that if you don't pick up a quarterback in the first round because you just don't feel like it's worth it at that point, and you pick up one of the edge guys or a wide receiver or something like that. This is a guy that in the second round, I would not mind taking.
Right. Same with Michael Penix. Like, if for some odd reason we didn't land a field, went some other direction besides QB at 8 and grabbed a Rattler or a Penix, I wouldn't be totally opposed to that.
Nope.
All right. So Penix goes to New Orleans. Roman Wilson to Indianapolis. That'd be real nice with the big arm as Richardson has.
Yeah.
Roman Wilson would be cool there. All right, any other? I'm only going to hit up notables as we kind of scroll. See Edrin Cooper to the Cowboys. Bucks with an O-lineman. They need him. Now, here's Malachi Corley's another guy who's grabbing up some steam as a wide receiver. Let's see. Austin Brooks. Let's keep right on rocking here. Troy Franklin.
Braylon Trice.
Braylon Trice. Where's that? Where was he at?
Commanders. 61.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah, Braylon Trice is another one. And then that Kevondre Sweat, the defensive tackle. Like, if we didn't go nose in free agency, that's a guy I could really see. All right, moving on to round three. Let's see.
Let's just move on to where the Falcons are.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I ain't going to see her. So scroll. Okay. Oh, so they're saying that we gave up our third for Fields. I wonder if he's going to give us the other third for Jacksonville. Because not a lot. Because, see, this is our pick. It's going to be our pick regardless.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I wouldn't mind Javon Bullard for us there.
Yeah, I can see that. But now, if you did that, now you got Georgia in all three rounds.
Oh, man, come on. Let's do it. That would be great. That'd shut everybody up, wouldn't it? Then we could rename us to the Atlanta Dogs.
Yeah, because that worked out so well for Philadelphia.
Oh, Chris has got a point. You don't want McGarry protecting Penix's blind side. That's a valid point. Will Shipley for I like him and Corum. Those two.
I do like Shipley.
Let's see. So here they got Chris Abrams Doreen, a cornerback out of Missouri. Okay. Cool. Yeah, sure.
Don't know the name.
Javon Solomon, an edge out of Troy.
I like his name.
Javon Solomon, yeah. Yeah. It's
a good name.
It's a good name. I like it.
About all I know about him.
I haven't gotten this deep into any of them. Jalen Harrell was good at the Senior Bowl.
You missed our pick.
Oh, Jordan Jefferson. Yeah, there you go. D tackle. I wonder what his size is. He might be a nose tackle kind of type. But all right.
Let's see. It was Jordan Jefferson.
Yeah, Jordan Jefferson out of LSU. I don't have his. I know I've looked at it. I don't have his brain, like his size in my head. You know what I'm saying?
Let's see. He is 6'4", 315.
Yep. Nose tackle. Nose tackle size. All right, round six. Do we not have a sixth round? Did I just miss it? We might have traded it away.
Oh, there it is.
DeJuan Edwards out of Georgia. Hey, man, he is just giving us all the Georgia players.
Yep.
oddly enough, if Cordell leaves, you're going to need another back, probably. And late round back is my favorite kind of back, right?
I agree. Well, potentially agree, Dre, in that I think Storm Norton is a better pass blocker. I don't know if he's a better run blocker. Like when Caleb's right in the run game.
He's a road grader.
Him and Lindstrom together, man, that's like when things are going good in the run game, those guys are really like punishing some folks.
Right. Yeah, I agree, Chris. Mason Smith out of LSU coming off an ACL, but yeah, he's a guy that I would not mind adding one bit.
Yeah.
So that was the mockery. I'm glad that was fun. That wasn't bad.
Yeah.
That was an interesting one to look at.
It was the all Georgia Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, apparently. Draft. Yeah. As much crap as I gave Philadelphia last year, I'd have to give us as much. Right. Yeah. But
literally every pick that where we would pick, in some cases it didn't show it as our pick.
Right.
But if you, I think it was every pick, like that, I think it was that fourth round pick or third round pick or whatever. You're like, I wouldn't mind Javon Buller there.
Yeah, exactly.
If that happened, it literally feels like every round other than that one was Georgia. So if you added that one, every round was Georgia that we saw.
Right. Exactly. Oh yeah. So that would at least make some folks around here happy, I would think. So, I mean, that's kind of like all I had in mind for this episode was just to kind of touch on some free agency to see, you know, who we might be looking at, who we might be thinking of. You know, for those who are so inclined, I encourage you to do a little bit of research on the tight front, and that's T-I-T-E. So the tight front. Do a little bit of research on that and then go watch the Rams, and I can easily see us doing something similar here. So it's a lot of, you know, five man rushes. The where the folks are lined up at is, you know, interesting for those who are worried about a 3-4. I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah,
we're gonna do.
That's what I was talking when I was saying that. There's different types of 3-4
right,
alignments, whatever. Like this tight defense definitely sounds like if we're going to run that, then I think that would be that plays to a guy like Grady Jarrett's strengths, like right. that
in a lot of ways, like what they do with Grady, I think like hinges a lot on what we're going to do. Period. You know, if that makes sense. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, what transpires there. So does anybody have any questions as we start wrapping up the show? Because I don't know about y'all, but I'm a little bit out of gas.
Yeah. And my right eye is like,
you done got my eye messed up. My eye wouldn't bother me until you start talking about it. Now it's all like, but, All right, folks, we appreciate y'all, as always, joining us, taking time out of your day. We thank y'all very much. Keep an eye on the channel. We'll have a video out this Friday talking a little bit more in depth about some defensive pieces that we might add in free agency, what we might be looking for. We kind of touched on it here, but for the next few weeks, that's going to be the focus as we get closer to March 13th. So we'll have an in-depth video out this Friday about that. And then we will be back live on Tuesday. I'll probably have a short somewhere in there. Who knows? So, yeah, go Braves. I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe there's spring training. Sure.
What The pitchers and catchers reported recently, I think, and some more guys are starting to show up. So
gotcha. 10-4, 10-4. All right, folks. We love you. We appreciate y'all. We'll catch y'all back next Tuesday. And as always, Falcons fans.
Follow you.
Yeah, that's right. Follow me. You can interact with me on Twitter. I answer things. We can have discussions. I do polls from time to time. You can interact there. You may have an influence on the video.
Don't worry about what he's a jerk. It's just something he does sometimes.
Oh, no. Just ignore me. But you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Grimm1128, GRIMM1128. Jonathan.
At Jonathan M. Holder. Come by, say hi.
There you go. As always, Falcons fans, rise up.
You got it right this time. Rise up.